Good evening. Can you hear me, everybody? Yes.
Yes, I hear you.
Yep, sure can.
Okay, great. This is going to be, we haven't done this for a while, so bear with us. We'll all just have to be patient with each other. Clerk Barker has asked that to remind everybody to state your name before you're speaking so that for the recording to pick it up. Also, just make sure everybody
Looks like
remembers
Jason
to raise
Jason
their
over here
hand
somewhere
to
back there.
speak so that we can, not have people talking over on top of anybody. And let's see. Do we do a roll call for this, Liesl? Liesl, can you hear me? Well, it looks like we've got Mike Taylor, myself, Susan Warner, Brian Taylor, and Shelley and Lucas. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting a phone call from Liesl. Hang on just a second. Hey.
Are you speaking?
Yeah.
Because I can't hear you.
Well,
Ben
other.
asked me the same thing.
Pardon me?
I said, I don't think Ben could hear you either.
Well, that's funny because all the everybody else could hear me. I mean, I had.
Susan can hear you.
Yeah, it might be on Liesl's end because I think all of us
All right.
can hear.
I can hear you, Sally. I was telling Liesl that she wasn't hearing you.
Okay, everybody. Sorry. I'm just going to go down the list of participants and make sure that everybody can hear me. Justin Marchbanks. Lucas, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. Rachel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Shelley?
Yes, and I just unmuted myself.
Okay. Yeah, just go ahead and mute yourself back up again after. Whitney, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and if Liesl can't hear you, I'd suggest getting out of the meeting and starting again and reestablishing the audio.
Okay, thanks. Kathy, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Thank you. Meadow.
Yes, I can hear you.
Soul.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so Liesl, can you hear me?
I got you. Sorry.
Liesl, was that you?
Yeah, I have you loud and clear now.
I can barely hear you. But it sounds like she can hear me now. So we'll go ahead. I'm calling the work session to order for Monday, December 2nd. We have everybody is here in attendance. All council members are here. So we will move on. So the topics for tonight, or the first one on the list is for the human waste dumping. This is on here because on November 5th, Shelley alerted us to the fact that there was a bucket of waste that had been human waste that had been dumped by the visitor kiosk, which had subsequently been discovered by several dogs and two lovely humans who cleaned it all up. And there have been many past incidents of waste dumping in the public bathrooms, and Shelley asked to have this on the work session to discuss it. So it's open for discussion. Anybody have anything they want to say? Oh, Kathy, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. I didn't know if you were asking anybody or the council or what. I
was asking council, but you can too.
Okay. I just want to bring this up because since I've been there in June of 2022, there's been several incidents through when Ben was the Marine Facilities Coordinator, through other folks, of not only human waste and feces being dumped in the vaulted toilets, now on the property, fish carcasses being dumped at the you know, in the slough, and you know, down at the beach and down at the boat harbor. And I know people have bad feelings about the city using surveillance or cameras, but having talked to the troopers before about what could be done about something like this, they said the only way they can do anything about it is if we can prove who is doing it. And then they could, what they called, give them a trespass thing, warning, where they say you are no longer allowed near or on this property. And, you know, the mess and the horribleness of what the employees have to do to deal with this, as well as the community who gracefully go and clean it up, is just, it's a lot and it's too much. And it's probably a select one or two people probably doing this stuff. And I'm just putting it out there that unless and until we can catch who's doing it, it's probably unlikely that it's going to stop. And so that's my two cents that I'm putting out there. But I feel like we, our employees should not have to be subject to dealing with that all the time.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. We'll go on to Brian Taylor.
Yeah, I guess I was going to ask initially if I, just to have my recollection clarified on whether or not we still had surveillance cameras down there. Based on what Kathy was just saying, I'm going to guess we do not. Seems like it's probably worth considering. I mean, I know that there was a bit of a hubbub last time that this happened. I'd be happy to put it to the city, or put it to the citizens, and make people aware that this is something we're considering doing. You know, if that means taking public comment on this, I'm happy for that. But I think it seems like if we want this to stop, we kind of have to do something about it. So, Lord, help us if we put up a sign. I'll say that.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Is there anybody else? Shelley, did you want to speak to this?
No, not specifically. I think we have a nuisance ordinance, and I don't know if it's the sort of thing where we can, in addition to going to the troopers, have a series of fines that we can impose on people. But right, we probably need to catch them in the act.
Mike, is your hand up?
Yes. I guess what I'd worry about is we may have even if we put up cameras, we've got a pretty small chance of catching who does it. They can just do it someplace where there isn't a camera on them. You know, I think we should probably at least, you know, maybe if you as mayor could put out a reminder to the public, let them know this is going on. And I can't tell you how to word it, of course, you can do that, but just try to get some more public awareness of this, and maybe that's the best first step. I think we may waste a lot of time and effort on the cameras and not really actually catch them. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Anybody else? Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, as somebody who had to deal with it, what Mike just said, I agree with. I don't know that cameras are going to catch who's doing it, because it happens in the boat harbor, it happens at the beach, it happens in the bathroom, it happens behind the airport. But definitely educating people on there are alternatives to dumping your human waste. around Gustavus. I think that that is definitely something that we could spend more time on. Something I did was put up something in the outhouses that said, "This is what I'm required to bring to work to clean up your mess after you do this." You know, just and it seemed like that got somebody's attention at the time, but apparently it's you know, we're back to where we are. So that's my sense.
Thank you, Ben. Anybody else? Yeah, I am very opposed to cameras for many reasons, but like Mike said, it's we put a camera one place, they're just going to go somewhere else, and we can't have cameras everywhere, and we're very unlikely to catch anybody in the act anyway. I'd be happy to put together some kind of a a public a PSA for just letting people know that that it's a problem and asking them to help keep an eye out and letting people know what their options are for dumping things like that. And not just the human waste, but the food waste and other things that get dumped all over the place. Okay, so the next item is the vision and mission statement. If you will look at page 4 of the packet, which is the last page of the general meeting draft agenda, you'll see something that says mission statement. And it reads, "The city of Gustavus is a distinctive Alaskan city that provides high-quality public services in a thoughtful, cost-effective, and professional manner to sustain a safe, beautiful, tolerant environment to live, work, and play with respect for individual freedom and each other." And I put this in there because a couple of reasons. For years I've been we've been reading the same vision statement at the beginning of meetings, and I think it's great. I think it's good to have keep our mission, our vision, whatever, in the forefront. But after a while, first of all, our vision statement is really long, and after a while, I think people start to just tune it out, including ourselves, because we've heard it so many times. So I'm just suggesting that maybe we change it up and use this mission statement that came from the 2019 version of the strategic plan. And I just wanted to get people's opinions on doing that and switching that. Also, a longer vision of my own is to rewrite the mission statement to make it even shorter and more concise. To just make a clear, concise concept that we could then use then as our guiding principle in making decisions. So first of all, let's just open it up and see what people think about that. Anybody? Brian Taylor.
Yeah, a quick question. I guess point of clarification. This is basically just, I mean, you're not like superseding or removing the current vision statement, rather just supplementing it with a shorter, maybe more accessible mission statement. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, just at the beginning of our meetings, instead of re reading the vision statement, we would read the mission statement.
I have mixed feelings about that. I like the vision statement rather a lot, but I do see what you mean. There was a moment at the Alaska Municipal League conference where they were talking about city vision statements, and Shelley and I were both trying to remember ours, and we went, "Oh, remember ours," and we both kind of went, "Oh, that is a bit of a mouthful,
Exactly.
isn't it?"
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I think
Other
the challenge would.
comments. I have more I'd like to add to this, but I just wanted to see what people were just general first impressions were. Anybody else? Mike.
Yeah, I like the statement as you've just written it. I was part of the writers of the first of the vision statement, but I like this short version. And there may be opportunities to use one or the other depending on the circumstances. Maybe this mission statement would go well on a lot of our city documents. So I think there are a lot of good uses for it. I like the idea. Thanks for raising it.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Anybody else? Okay, so just a little bit more background information is that, you know, a mission statement is, in my mind, and I've talked to Liesl about this, and she's had some training in this too, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to hear her if she wants to chime in here in a minute, or if we just want to, you know, we can work on this another time, but in my mind, the mission statement should be something that is just right there at the top of our minds as we go into a meeting. With, like, when I was on the school board, our guiding principle was, is it good for kids? It was just a simple, you know, as we're trying to make decisions and thinking about things, we've got that right in front of us. Is it good for kids? So just something like that. I am not saying that we should get rid of the vision statement. It's always going to be there. It's part of our strategic plan. It is our, it's our statement that tells us where we want to see ourselves in the future. And it's our constant guide that we're always working towards throughout, you know, a long periods of time. But a mission statement is more kind of like why we're here, what we're doing right here in this moment, in this meeting, what our focus is. So, but for now, maybe we'll just put the mission statement on it on at the beginning of the meetings, and we'll see how that goes. And if people have things they want to change, or if we could switch it up, we could do sometimes one or the other. But anyway, those are my thoughts. Liesl, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I can try. Can you hear me at all?
Barely.
Okay. So basically what I've learned in my training is it should be a tagline, something quick and easy, something that you can remember that helps keep you focused, but isn't super long. And then let that vision statement be the detail of how you're going to, you know, go to that vision. But the mission should be a tagline, essentially.
Great. Thank you. All right. And we can talk about this, you know, more at other times. And we will be talking in a minute about the strategic plan update, and that, you know, rewriting that could go in as part of that. So we'll talk about that again in a minute, unless anybody else has anything to say about it right now. Okay. Moving on to rescheduling the training with the local government specialist. When he was here, when Euro was here, we ended up canceling the training because of very, very, very low attendance. And in the packet, you have his report that you've probably seen and hopefully read. And we'll be addressing that those things that are in there at some point soon. But the question was, do we want to reschedule training with him? We would not have him come back again because I don't know if he even followed through on that request about seeing if he could. But if we wanted to reschedule training with him, doing, you know, online or by Zoom or whatever, I just wanted to get people's thoughts about that in light of the fact that many of us are going up for, or some of us are going up to Anchorage for training. Do we need to have him do it again? Please share your thoughts. Lucas.
I would say if there's no time pressure for when he would need to come back, that maybe we can go to the training in Anchorage and then see whether there are particular gaps we'd want him to address after the training.
Yep, great. Thank you. We did have some good conversations with him. Liesl worked with him. Ben worked with him a little bit. Kathy talked to him. I took him on a little tour of Gustavus. And that first night of training, Liesl and I talked about many of the things that are in his report. So that was very That was pretty productive, actually. So unless anybody else has anything to add, I think it would be great to wait until after the AML conference and just see if there is anything that we'd like to maybe have him do a refresher or maybe do something in the spring sometime.
This is Rachel Patrick. I agree that I think we should wait till after everybody comes back from the conferences, because I just went last year and I learned a lot at the all day new council training sessions, and I really liked it. I think everyone's going to get a lot out of it, so I think everybody should reassess when everybody gets back.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. Yeah, I think that he would have covered a lot of the same things that we're going to be covering up there, so.
May I speak for a moment, Madam Mayor?
Go ahead. What was that, Liesl?
Yeah, so I do think that there is some value in having the council have some training all at the same time, maybe specific Gustavus related items, whether that's through Yora, 20 minutes of let's review, some applicable matter at the beginning of a work session. But that is something that, they, like when I go to my trainings, that they're asking, what are you doing to help train your council members? What is your city or your municipality doing? So I do think that there's, AML is going to be great. A lot of people have gotten to go recently or are going.
However, I don't, first of all, don't believe that this project is within the committee's remit. And I don't feel like it is, as a committee, bringing this to the council. I don't feel like the proper steps have been followed. According to the city's project planning and approval process, the first step should have just been to identify an opportunity and present it to the council. And that's not really what's happening here. It's jumped a couple of steps and become a plan. I just have several concerns and questions that need to be addressed. I'm not asking that they get answered now, but I feel like the plan is very incomplete. There are too many unknowns about what happens after this, 2 year lease period. I don't think we have at all, I mean, not any kind of a concept of what the estimated total cost is going to be overall, how these funds are going to be raised, who's going to manage that fund, those fundraising efforts. I know that a conservation easement on that vast number of acres is not going to be cheap, and I don't know if this community can handle another huge, huge fundraising project. This city, in my mind, should not be involved in this at all, for a variety of reasons. The most important one being that the city does not have a good track record of managing city lands in the public eye. We can just look at the beach project, the beach CRMA. We've had all kinds of issues with that, and I'm not comfortable with the city becoming involved in another project where we are managing lands, even if it's only for a couple of years, without just huge amount of public input and process. I don't like the fact that it's looks that the two council members are doing the bulk of the work on this. For a committee, I'd rather see others. I know that the committee voted to agree to this, but it's not a good look for the city in the public eye, once again, to have two council members pushing this project. What guarantees do we have that the outcome 3 to 5 years down the road will be what the committee envisions now? The current owners will have the biggest input into the final covenants on this, as I understand it. Grazing, haying, those kinds of things are things that have happened on that land for a long, long, long time. That's historically, it's a perfectly wonderful use of that property, in my opinion. And I had a couple of other things, but those were kind of answered earlier. But the bottom line is, I can't support this project. I could very well be persuaded in the future, but not before a lengthy public process and a fully developed plan is presented. Thank you. Rachel.
This is Rachel. I just wanted to say I absolutely full-heartedly agree with Sally on this matter. I think if this gets brought to the public's attention and there was conversation happening where everyone is on board and everyone is understanding what is happening, then we could discuss it again. But at this point, I think it's too much too soon. And yeah, I agree with Sally.
Thanks, Rachel. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And you know, I think you raise excellent questions. Councilmember Patrick as well. And it was never the Mike or I's intention to have this project be something that the committee took on. If this was going to go forward, there's going to need to be a team of people. It's going to take a fair amount of work to do to get done. And coming up with a good plan that suits the city and the public and the landowners and the trust, the C Alaska Land Trust, is going to take conversations. It's going to take people being involved and having discussions about what they want and how they want to try to achieve it. And so this request for a 2-year lease is simply trying to obtain the time to put together a team of people to see if an agreement, if some agreement can be achieved between the stakeholders. It's not something that the committee is, I agree with the mayor, it's not the committee's remit. And it was never the intention that it would be something that the city would fund or do or take responsibility for. We tried to signal that with saying for the $25,000 endowment grant that we requested, we would also provide $5,000 worth of private donation, trying to signal that this wasn't. You know, we weren't looking to ask the city to be obligated for future funding of any sort. So I think that your questions are excellent, and this opportunity to try to establish an environment in which all the stakeholders can be involved and have discussions, but that's not going to happen automatically in any way. So if this is the chance for the council to take a proactive step toward what we want to have for public access to these lands in the future. So the committee is just presenting the council to decide on a strategy of how to move forward. And all of the questions that very good questions that the mayor and Rachel raised regarding having a plan and having public involvement, I think are all excellent, but they can't be addressed if we don't have a place to start. And that's what the council members are being asked for. This is our chance to do something constructive about trying to preserve public access to the golf course and the Gustavus Meadows. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I think it's important to understand a couple of things. Number one, Southeast Alaska Land Trust would really be in the driver's seat on this. They're the experts on this. It did occur to me to that we could write the endowment fund request with them as being the requesters, but they don't have an office in Gustavus currently, and so they weren't qualified to file a request for an endowment fund grant, despite the fact that it's intended to benefit us in Gustavus. So that was the idea of the whereby the committee suggested, or the committee came up with the idea of us taking responsibility for filing for the grant. Now, this is a 2-year thing, and the scoping document is a doc is a means to generate public interest and public comment. It's on the agenda for approval in 2 weeks, so there's public hearing on it, and I hope people will comment whether they think it's a good idea or not. The scoping document doesn't obligate the city to spend any money. The funding is from the endowment fund, and this is really a discrete project, similar to many others that the endowment fund has provided grant money for, whether it's the historical group or the preschools or the community center and so forth. Those were all discrete projects that were a little bit outside of, or maybe entirely outside of, the city's authority for spending money. So that was another reason to use the endowment fund as a suggested source for the core funding for it. We already do have a number of us who are willing to kick in substantial private donations to make up the difference, because the endowment fund request is not for the full amount of the project. And also, Southeast Alaska Land Trust is willing to put in some of their resources and funding to meet the full needs of it during this lease period, while they continue to consider other options for the land. So maybe that helps, and I hope it stays. It's important to stay on the agenda. I guess we just need to vote on it and see what the public thinks first, and then take a vote in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Mike. Any other council members have comments to make? Okay. I just wanted to. I totally understand that the city's not being asked to provide any funding for this. I'm talking about, the other fund, the other money that's going to have to happen to for CL to follow this through. But I really want the public to be able to comment on this. But this is such a confusing. It's like Rachel said, what exactly are we voting on? If we don't understand it well enough to know what we're voting on, the public is not going to understand it. It's really confusing. And I think the scoping document actually made it more confusing. And 2 weeks is really not enough time for the public to be able to comment on this. Those are just my thoughts. Yes, we'll keep it on the agenda. That's fine, and we'll vote on it. But I really would just like to see a much clearer picture presented to the public and to the council. Kathy, go ahead.
I don't have a stake in this one way or the other, but what I do want to say is when we were presented with the issue of the Four Lands, with the Nature Conservancy perhaps being turned over to, I don't know if it was the Hoona Indian Association, or when those lands that the Nature Conservancy had put into conservation. The initial approach on that and the shock of all of that was to we got involved with Southeast Alaska Land Trust because they have the position to be able to assist with stuff like that, so there could perhaps be a transfer done, in perpetuity between the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. In addition to that, all of a sudden the beach parcels and the De Beers and the land accretion areas got involved with the whole thing. So I feel like, you know, the initial impetus that we got involved with the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, or at least as I understand it, came as a result of that whole four lands issue that we were dealing with about 8 or 9 months ago, right? So I think that this whole issue that also came about, I feel like, as partially a result of that, is sort of an aside, but yet somehow connected to the whole thing. So I feel like, and maybe it's just me and my misunderstanding and my misreading of the whole thing, but I feel like if we can isolate those two things and figure out the difference of the Southeast Alaska Land Trust's capability of assisting us with some of these lands issues would be really beneficial for the community to know and be able to understand. At least in my mind, I would like to see the difference, because I feel like that whole thing precipitated this conversation. And so that's just my opinion, but I feel like if we can sort of isolate all of those things, we might have a better understanding.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Go ahead, Mike.